Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
God bless you all. It's a blessing to be here today. Thank you for having us. It's been a blessing so far and been encouraged. If we could start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we want to give you honor and glory and praise for being so good to us. Father, we want to give you honor, glory, and praise for blessing each one of us here with a good marriage. Lord, we pray that you would work in our marriages, that we could truly be a light and a testimony for you, that our marriages could truly represent Christ in the church. Lord, that you could receive honor and glory, and that we could receive a blessing from you. Father, I pray that you would use me as a vessel to share to each one here today, and Lord, that I even myself would glean from what is shared. Lord, we will be careful to give you the honor and glory. And Father, I just give this evening into your hands. I pray your blessings upon each one. May you receive honor and glory that is worthy, that you are worthy of and that you deserve. And thank you, Father. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, it's exciting that I can be here with you all. In many ways, I feel unworthy to be sharing here to you. I know many of you have been married 10, 20, 30 years, and we still feel like babes in that. But nonetheless, I did get asked to share, and I'm excited to take the opportunity to encourage marriages. Something that the Lord has put on my heart is to strengthen marriages, to seek out how I can bless and encourage good marriages. And so I'm excited to do that. May the Lord use these few crumbs and these few fishies to be multiplied and to bless each one of you. I want to greet you on behalf of the Eagle Christian Fellowship, first of all. So for those of you who don't know, Pilgrim Church did an outreach about a year ago, just over a year ago, and so we come now from the Eagle Christian Fellowship, is what we call ourselves. And on behalf of the whole group there, we just want to greet you, and we send blessings. Did you need something? Okay. We send blessings on behalf of each one there. And just a reminder, it used to be that I could say to all of you, we're only 3 hours away, and the border isn't that scary. But now I have to say we're 4 hours away. So they sent us an hour further east. But it's only 4 hours. We have a blessed brother that married one of the girls from our church. His name is Myron Zook. And he tells me that there's an invisible wall in our minds, in the Americans' minds, when they think of Canada. They think it's hard. They think it's cold. I don't know. But we're only 4 hours away, and we would love for you to come visit. We'll open up our homes, and we will make a way for us to get to know more of you. It's a blessing. And on that note, I thought it was interesting that some of you who first met us, the first time we ever came to Allen County is the first time we had met any of you. And there was a purpose for that. So Samantha and I, we had left a former church setting and joined ourselves to Pilgrim in Comber. And we often heard that there was this group in Indiana that was somehow connected with Brother Henry, and back in the day when it got started, he was there. And so we always wanted to come and visit. We started coming to Pilgrim December of 2017, and in February there was a Kingdom Discipleship for Men, and when we first stepped in foot in Pilgrim, we were really excited about it. We were really blessed and encouraged to see a group of people serving God the way they did. And as much as we then wanted to come to that Kingdom Discipleship for Men that coming February, for me, I just thought, I didn't want the brothers at Pilgrim to think I was desperate. So we didn't do it right then, because we came December, and in February I already wanted to come. But we were excited, and we loved what we were seeing, and we were excited. But anyways, we waited until November 9th of the following year, or of that same year of February, which was our fifth wedding anniversary. And we came to a cabin called Beside Stillwater Retreat. And we purposely picked that cabin because it was close to Allen County. And we didn't tell anyone, we didn't know any of yous. But then we were going to just have an anniversary trip. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we didn't know what we were going to do. But we wanted to come and then visit you on Sunday. But we heard Mark Miller was preaching when we were there. He was preaching on the home. And you remember when Mark Miller came and preached on the home? Very, very big blessing. So we left our children at home. We were on an anniversary trip. And right away that we missed Friday, but Saturday somebody had already invited us. And we came and we met some of you brothers and sisters. And it was a tremendous blessing just to connect in heart and in spirit with our love for God. And we sensed it from you all. And we just made connections. And so that was about 8 years ago. We're going on our 13th wedding anniversary now, here in November. And so going on 8 years now. There was one part of Brother Mark Miller's messages that stood out to us specifically, and that was he taught about how what they did with their children on a weekly basis, they took one child and had like a date night. Do you remember that? A lot of you remember that? And that sparked a light bulb in us. And so we started doing that. And so we had Lydia then. She was old enough. And we started doing that with her every Thursday. And so she got to experience a date night every Thursday. And that would have been the best thing for her. Out of anything, hanging out with friends or birthday parties or anything else, that would have been the best thing for her. And so we saw that applying this principle really was a blessing. And we had Tirza, and then we had Sophie. Now we have Benji. Now we're doing it four times. Every Thursday we're taking turns. And we're a little bit jealous of that. But what we're finding that, what I found then was we kind of started neglecting each other, me and Samantha. And so now there's a Thursday for us too. So there's a Thursday for each child, and then there's a Thursday for Mommy, but for Mommy, that's for me and her together. And that was actually yesterday. Yesterday was Mommy Thursday. But I was preparing for a message, so I asked if it was okay if we did it today instead. And so we came out and have a date night here together, and again, get to be with you brothers and sisters on our date night, like it was 8 years ago on our anniversary trip. So what a blessing. What a blessing. I love to see strong, healthy, godly marriages. It is probably the greatest burden that God has put on my heart to see marriages prosper. There's been times in my own life when friends or family in my own life have struggled through marriage issues, and I do everything I can to keep it together. There's sometimes and other friends say, "Separate from him. Separate from him." And I said, "No, don't separate from him. This is sacred. This is holy. There's a blessing here. Do not separate." And praise God, they didn't separate. And they're together again. And that's a victory. Something like that is a victory for me. But the world would quickly say, "Separate from him." I said, "No, don't separate. We want to rather... Before, if it's that bad that we consider separating, first of all, let's not separate. But even before that ever happens, let's do some preventative so that it never gets there. Can we do preventative maintenance on our marriages so that it never gets there?" And I know not everybody here has children, but for those of us who do, what can be better for our children than for Mommy and Daddy to have a blessed marriage? Is there anything that we can do better for our children but to show them a godly, happy, joyful, blessed marriage. I don't think that there is. To show them the love of Christ through the example of a godly marriage. A marriage that would be so strong that the children couldn't even separate that, should they try. The children are automatically blessed when marriages are strong. It's an automatic, God-ordained blessing. And you know, daddy might get a little bit defensive if the children would try to disrespect mama or not obey mama. And I think that's healthy if daddy would get, not overly, but a little bit, he'd be a little bit sensitive to the fact if the children would decide that, you know, they want to challenge mom. You know, they might say, but mom, maybe daddy would kick in and say, children, respect your mama. She's my wife, and she deserves respect. If we can have that kind of marriage where we're jealous, if even our children try to put a wedge in between it, the children will be blessed in return. Daddy does what he can do to make sure that mama is blessed by her children. And it's biblical. In Proverbs 31:28, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. You know, I sometimes whisper in my buddy's ear. My buddy, he's 4 years old. I sometimes whisper in his ear, your mom is the best one. And he says, mm-hmm. I sometimes tell my daughters, mom's the beautifulest one. She's the fairest one. She's the best one, right, girls? Mm-hmm. They agree. And my daughters are beautiful, but they know that they'll never be as beautiful as mom. And I know I'm being a bit biased, right? But when the children know that, they are blessed, and they know that daddy loves mama, and they know that mama loves daddy. Mama ensures that daddy's will is honored. If daddy says this is the way, this is the direction we're going to take, mama makes sure that the children don't have any way to bypass that. They can't go to mom and say, mom, dad said this, but what do you think? It doesn't work that way. Mama makes that very clear. And when there's that type of marriage bond, when that marriage relationship is this way, there's a sense of security that our children will have. And it's a tremendous blessing to the husband and to the wife when the marriage is are strong in the Lord. And I just want to know at this point, can you hear me way back there? Yeah? Okay. It's a tremendous blessing when our marriages are strong in the Lord and our children will get that blessing. And that's where it all starts though, in the Lord. A husband that is devoted to Christ and a wife that is devoted to Christ and both of them devoted to each other and to Christ, that's where it all starts. And that's where the blessings begin. It's the greatest burden that I've felt since the time that I've been married, since the time that I've been ordained in the ministry, is that we could promote and bless and encourage godly marriages. And I believe that's one of God's greatest burdens too. And I think it is because it's a picture of Christ in the church. Marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And if Christian marriages fail, what picture does that make? If a godly marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ in the church, then what is it when a Christian marriage fails? It's not a good picture. It mars the testimony of Christ and the church. And what does that say about a couple's connection with God when the marriages are struggling? I believe it says something. When a marriage connection is lost, when there's something in the marriage that isn't well, then it's either between him and God, or between her and God, or between both and God, where there's a connection that's lost. And the children will be affected by this. They will thrive when the marriage thrives, and they will suffer when the marriage suffers. And that's just how it's going to be. And I'm not going to put God in a box. I've seen marriages that are suffering and children that are doing surprisingly well. And I wonder, wow, God is truly a father to the fatherless. So we're not going to put God in a box here. But that's the pattern that I see overall. When marriages suffer, children suffer. A few years ago, there was a man who came up to me and wanted to talk. His children were rebelling, and he couldn't get them back on track. He was stressed out. He didn't know what to do with it. And we talked for quite a while. All of a sudden, he just asked me plainly, "Ben, what do you think is the problem?" And I asked him one question, and I asked him this question: "How is your marriage?" And he said, "Not good." And maybe not everybody would have seen it, but the truth was that it wasn't good. There was something struggling in the marriage, and that was the root cause of what was happening with his children. Now, I wouldn't say the root cause. If there's something struggling in the marriage, then we know there was something struggling between either the husband and God, or the mother and God, wife and God, or both. That would be the root. But regardless, when I asked that question, it hit him. And sometimes it seems like marriages are doing seemingly okay, but the roles are swapped. The headship order isn't proper. And sometimes that's the only way marriages do okay. And I would just plead that if that's the case, that we would swap the roles again so that the head of the home is playing the head of the home. Sometimes the roles are swapped. And maybe it's sometimes because the husband is maybe a very nice person, but relaxed. And maybe the wife is a bit of a go-getter. And I'm not saying anything against characters. I think there's a blessing in these things. I don't want to criticize anybody's character. But I want to just mention something here. When that's the case, where the husband is more maybe relaxed and guards down type personality, and the wife is more go-getter, there's more of a natural tendency for the roles to be swapped. And when the roles are swapped, the marriage works better. But I think regardless of that tendency, if that's the case, I just think it needs a little bit more effort where the head of the home still plays the head of the home, whatever that might look like. And it will take effort for the head of the home, and it will take effort for the wife. And it can be done in all humility, and it can be done in all godliness. But I believe that there's an important thing to note there, that the head of the home is still the head of the home, and that he would take extra effort to be that, and that she would take extra effort to let him be that, and see if that won't make a difference in the family structure. Because if the marriage structure is broken or upside down, then it's a clear picture for the children of what a broken structure looks like. And even if it worked upside down, but then it all of a sudden works upside down here too. And so suddenly the children are the ones that are the head of the home. Just something that I've seen. And I think it's proper, I think it's important for us to understand what proper godly headship order is. And it's important for us to understand that that proper headship order in our marriage is a foundation for a blessed marriage and then a blessed home. I think that's foundational right there. I had to think about Adam and Eve. God made Adam. And Adam said, and God said to Adam, till the land and rule the world. And then God makes Eve and says, help Adam fulfill his role. And the foundation for a headship order in a godly marriage was set right there. There was a connection with God, with both of them, and there was proper headship order. Think about a man who loves God with all of his heart, a woman who loves God with all of his heart, with her heart, in a marriage where headship order is understood and applied. Children who grow up in that home can see by example a real life, a picture of Christ in the church through the blessed marriage of mom and dad. Not a lot of words need to be spoken there, but the picture is clear, and it's a blessing. This is foundational. You know, we were sent out by the Pilgrim Church as seven families a year and a half ago, 75 miles east, and seven families all moved out that way. And as part of the ministry, we thought it was necessary for us to teach these principles. One of the first teachings was the teachings on the home. And when teaching on the home, the first teachings are teachings on marriage. And so we truly believe, and I truly believe, that this is foundational for many other blessings to follow. And I don't want to bring a heavy burden tonight. That's not what I want to do. I want to be a blessing, and I want to be a vessel that God can use to encourage marriages to prosper and be blessed. And sometimes there is a little bit of salt, but it should always go along with grace. And so I hope to be an encouragement to you all, to inspire you to love one another, respect one another, to serve one another, and to serve God together. And so for this reason, I want to consider four things on what we can do to have strong marriages. And the first one, I already heard it today. The first one is number one, that we must have a good connection with God individually. And we can be connected with God through repentance from our former life and through faith in Christ by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit in us, leading us and teaching us from within. That's foundational. That's the beginning. If God is teaching us, then we don't need man to teach us. It's still a blessing to glean. But if God within us is teaching us the way, is giving us that inspiration to lead our homes as husbands and to do our parts as wives, that's the best way. And that sounds deep, right? That we would have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within, teaching us from within. That sounds so deep. And maybe it sounds complicated, but it's actually the easiest way. Once we're surrendered to it, and once we've applied it, it's the easiest way, and we'll find out that it's the best way. And it's the only way. Because then God does the work in us so that we can be a light for Him and a blessing to each other and to those under us afterwards. That's the easiest way, to surrender it to God and to have that connection with God individually. We don't have to try to figure it out ourselves. We don't have to try to understand each other. You know, the male and the female, sometimes don't understand each other, fleshly speaking. But that's okay. If God is working in us, each individually, and God is for marriage and marriage is sacred, then He will make a way for this to be a blessing. There was a brother once come up to me before I was going to get married, and I've been very blessed that the Lord saved me and my wife before we were married. And we were both serving God wholeheartedly before we were married. And I can say that that has been a tremendous blessing for us. We had the foundation of Christ already in our lives. We were already building on it. We found each other, and it was a blessing. But a brother came up to me, and he was also a believing brother. And he said to me, "Ben, I want to just give you a heads up before you get married." He says, "I want to give you a heads up. This is serious. The first few years are going to be tough." And I was kind of taken aback by that, because he was a God-fearing man, and I was too, and we were good friends. And I might have been a bit naive, but I just thought, well, how can it be? If I love God with all of my heart, my wife loves God with all of her heart, and we love each other and we get married, how can it be that it would be that difficult? But he just persisted. "I just wanted to give you a warning." So nonetheless, I put it in the back of my head, and I took the warning, and we got married. And it was the most blessed first few years of my life. And to God be all the glory. But we don't have to take on that world's idea. Oh, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to learn how to work with each other. Men and women are different. Okay, maybe that's so. But let's not forget to put God in the equation. We need to remember that marriage is of God. And if we do all things in Christ, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so, I will never give that advice to anyone. I will give them the advice, serve God with all of your heart. Find a God-fearing woman and surrender your life, surrender your marriage to Christ, and you apply Christ's principles, you'll be just fine. So we need to remember this. I need to remember this. I, as the head of the home, am responsible for my own personal relationship with God. And Samantha, or the wife of the home, is responsible for her own relationship with God. We each are individually responsible for that. And if one of us begins to slack, we will both begin to feel the pain. If I begin to slack, she will feel the pain, and so will I, and so will God. But if we're diligent in it, if we're seeking the Lord daily, if we're reading His Word, if we're being washed in the Word, if we're endeavoring to follow Him every day, then it will be a blessing. Secondly, in order to have a strong marriage, we must agree together in order to walk together. Amos 3:3, and I realize the context is that of fallen Israel, but God asks the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And I think the answer is obvious. They cannot. You cannot walk together except you be agreed. And I've heard from others, and I've even other preachers at times, I've heard that it's okay to disagree sometimes. It's okay to agree to disagree. Have you ever heard that? It's okay to agree to disagree. And I always struggle with that. Whenever I hear that, I struggle with that. Because I don't think it's okay to agree to disagree. I don't think there will be harmony there. And I think it will be a hard path to walk. If we decide in our married life, she thinks this way, but I think this way, but it's okay because we're going to agree to disagree, there's a better way. than that. That doesn't harmonize very well. I get it if it's a little thing that happens very rarely. You know, I could maybe let that idea slide. But if it's something that will literally come up for the rest of your married life, I think we do far better to get on the same page. And I don't mean getting on the same page by demanding it or forcing it or whatever, but maybe just communicating until we're agreed upon. Maybe it will go this way, maybe it will go that way. But to agree together is far better if we want to walk together than to agree to disagree. There will be a bigger blessing there. There will be harmony there. There will be peace. And there won't be that inward struggle. You know, I had to think about it. I know amongst our people, there's a lot of business owners. And I just think about, would I run my business that way? That if I knew that my employees didn't agree with me, but that's okay, we're going to agree to disagree, just do as I say. It doesn't create a good company morale. We wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want to do that. Would we want to raise our children that way? You know, they don't agree with mom and dad, but that's okay. We're just going to agree to disagree, and then hopefully it turns out all right in the end. I don't believe it will, because one day they're going to have their own way, and then they're on a different path than what we would have wanted them to be. I remember a time when my oldest daughter was 3 years old, and we were doing sit training, and she might have been two or three, and we were training her in church to sit nice, and she was struggling, and we would do what we had to do to teach her to sit nice, and she would want to turn around, and then we would again teach her to sit nice, and I don't know if that involved a pinch every once in a while or what that all involved. I just remember being diligent in trying to teach her to sit nice. And she obeyed, but she did this. And that hurt my heart. Because although she was obeying, she was agreeing to disagree. There was that, from a little 3-year-old girl. And you know what? It was so funny. Right after church, a different lady comes up to me and Samantha, "How do you get your children to sit so nice?" I said, "I demand it." But she's not obeying from the heart, and that breaks my heart. She literally said that. "How do you get your children to sit so nice?" "I demand it." But we're not where I want it to be yet. We're still agreeing to disagree, and we're not where I want it to be yet. And we're still training. And Lord willing, in the near future, we're going to agree together so we can walk together in the same direction. Fathers and mothers, would it be okay with you if you knew that your children disagreed with you, but inside they're doing this? I know it wouldn't be. And if it is okay with you, I would just ask to consider what it will look like in 10 years from now. I don't think it's good to agree to disagree and just not fight about it. Let's communicate. Let's talk together. Let's communicate together. Let's figure out how we can get on the same page so that we can agree together. Because what do you think will happen if we agree to disagree and then one day when they're 20, they're let loose and it's game over? And God forbid that that would happen. So as much as possible, we should be on the same page in the direction of our children, but we should also be on the same page with each other. Me and my wife need to be agreed together so that we can walk together. And of course, we need to be agreed together with God. To be yoked together but having different ideas is not ideal. And you just imagine what that would look like if you would yoke some oxen together and they had different ideas. It wouldn't go well. So next, in order to have a godly marriage, a strong marriage, I would encourage us to serve each other. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. To serve one another. Husbands, think back about the wife of your youth. I heard a little bit of that here today. Was it Menno? You shared. Where's Menno? Anyways, no, there. You shared a little bit about when your wife was with just her black hair and the first time you met her, and that's a blessing. And I would like to encourage all of us to do that. To think back about the wife from the wife, think back and consider the wife of our youth. What thing, if she would have asked, would have been too much for us? If she would have asked, what thing would have been too much for us? Would there have been anything too much? What would we not have done for her? I think we would have said, like Ahasuerus said to Esther, when Esther wanted something from the king, and the king said, what is thy petition? And I will grant it unto thee, up to half the kingdom. But that seems a little bit cheap for a Christian man. Only half the kingdom. We would give our life, and we would give everything else possible for her. For the wife of our youth, if we think back. Are we still thinking that way today? And I was doing a heart check myself. Am I still thinking this way today? Am I as cheerful today as I would have been then to serve her? Maybe when the honey-do list gets long. Am I as cheerful today to check that list off for her as I would have been then? And that's convicting to me. And I want to grow in that area. And I know that I haven't been. And just to give an example, a few months ago, I was asked, the honey-do list went, there was quite a few things on there again. And I needed to check a few off. And I had to hang up a key hanger and a portrait and a pot from the ceiling. And I don't always have all the right tools. You know, I have a shop full of tools at work, but I don't always have them on me. And drilling through drywall isn't my favorite thing. And you need to get these little plastic things to get put in there so that it doesn't rip through and strip the screw. You brothers know what I'm talking about. And it looks easy and it looks simple, and yet what's supposed to be simple takes way longer than you initially thought. And I was a bit grumpy. And I was trying not to be, because I knew I shouldn't be doing this. But screwdriver, I needed a number two, all I had was a number three. I tried to hit the stud and I missed, and it put a hole in the drywall, and I needed another hole, and got to put another hole in the drywall elsewhere. And I looked for those little white pieces that you can jam in the drywall so it doesn't strip the screw, and I couldn't find any anywhere. And so a 10 or 15 minute job became like an hour. And so I had to think about this when I thought about the wife of my youth. What would I have done for her then? And how would I have acted then? And how did I do it just a few months ago? I want to grow in that area. And maybe there's some other brothers that could relate to that. Maybe you're growing and you're doing better than you would have back then. I don't know. But God bless you if you are. And Lord, help me. And I think it's important to serve one another. And wives, in which ways can you serve your husbands? We know you serve us every day. And thank you. There was a question brought up before, have we thanked our wife? No. I didn't in the last week, but thank you. It is a blessing, and we don't take it for granted. Fourthly, I want to encourage us to make time for each other. So often life gets so busy, we get bogged down with the weight of responsibilities. We go into seasons where we feel like we don't even have time for each other to catch up on what's all been happening at work. Or sometimes we find out from others things that our spouses knew already. And we live together, but we had to find out from others. That happens, right? I think it's important for us to take time for each other. You know, we take time for our children, we take time for our work, we take time for others, we take time for the church, and it's a blessing, but we really need to take time for each other. We were once raising sheep, and we had a certain sheep. She didn't like me, and I didn't like it that she didn't like me. And I Googled, how do you get your sheep to like you? And I saw a video, and it was a simple answer. So you want to know how to get your sheep to like you? Very easy. Spend time with them. It's that simple. Okay, I got it. Spend time with them. Well, how else are we going to get our precious ewe lamb to like us? But to spend time with them. To spend valuable time with them. Sometimes we just need to do a priority check. What's really important? Stop for a minute and think, what's really important? When we got ordained, Brother Henry Clausen did a message on juggling. And he asked Donald Puffer to come up, and some of you might have been there, but he asked Donald Puffer to come up and start juggling with some oranges. And apparently Donald Puffer can juggle, but he couldn't juggle that day. And so he tried juggling in front of everybody, and it dropped it almost right away. And Brother Henry's point was that now that you're in the ministry, you're going to have to learn how to juggle family time and work and ministry, family time and work and ministry. And Donald dropped it right away, and I feel like that was a picture of what I'd done early on. I believe it's been corrected a decent amount, but I definitely dropped the ball a few times. And I want to get back to what's truly important. And marriage is more important than any of the other items. Family is more important than any of the other items. It's more important than my duty in church. My wife and my children are number one. And if I'm going to drop the ball, I hope I drop the ball in the other areas instead. I think it's important for us to do a priority check. Take time for strengthening your marriage. The law of sowing and reaping applies here. What we sow, we will reap. If we neglect each other, it won't be long until that neglect bears the fruit of sorrow, bitterness, pain, discontentment, jealousy. And I had to think, why is it that so many marriages crumble at the age of 55 to 60? You ever see that? I've wondered, why? You're 60. Why would you now divorce? Why would you now throw in the towel on your marriage? And I think there's a reason for it. Because it's the fruit of what has been sown previously. Maybe there was neglect. Maybe there was no time spent. Maybe there was not a lot of seeds sown into the marriage. And the children kept it together. You ever hear that? We're going to stay together for the children's sake. But what happens when the children are gone? That's when the fruit will be manifested. And that's what's happening. marriages aren't being strengthened. They're not being taken seriously enough. They're being neglected. And that's all good. It's not all good, but it will survive until the children are gone. And then what's left? Awkward silence. Loneliness. You know, my neighbor came up to me the first time we moved in. He came up to me. He was 58 years old. And he was broken. And he says, did you know that my wife left me? Sorry, I didn't know. And this is our first day introduction. And he was broken. Well, I found out he never took time for her. And he was a workaholic. And he just neglected her. And she left him and said, I'm lonely. At the age of 58, 60 years old. And he's still single today, and that was about 12 years ago. And they've split the land in half, and she found a man on social media somewhere, and I guess she's not as lonely. I'm not sure. But I think it's important, brothers and sisters, that we would take time for our marriages, sow those seeds now already. You know, the seeds don't bear fruit right away. The seeds bear fruit later. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that's when the fruit is starting to come. But in the meantime, let's sow those seeds. Good seeds. Go on dates. I don't know if there's any neglect in that in here. I know if we're not scheduling it, it's neglected. It doesn't happen naturally. It will take some scheduling. And so I'll ask then, who is the schedule among you? Is it the husband or is it the wife? For us, Samantha's the scheduler. But I'm still the head of the home, and I can still say, make it happen. We need a date. Make it happen. She'll schedule it. But it's important for us to take time for each other and schedule alone time together. I am responsible to make sure that it happens as the head of the home. Take time to sow seeds of love and care and compassion towards your spouse. The fruit will come later, and it will be a blessed fruit. We just had a couple's night a few months ago. I forget exactly when it was. When was couple's night? Like March? Yeah, March. And we find ourselves very busy starting a new outreach church and just 9 families and a lot of responsibility, and we find ourselves very busy, and we've been talking about couples night for a long time. And as I shared before, marriages is a burden that God has put here. I desire to do what I can to bless and strengthen marriages. But I was kind of hoping that another brother would try to set it up, or another couple families. And so whoever set this up, God bless you. I know there's a lot of energy that went into it. But that is a very good thing that you've done. And there will be a very big blessing that will be yours one day because of it. So we just had a couples night, and instead of making it overly formal, we wanted to encourage marriages. We did end up leading it out, but we opened our home and we just encouraged a date night. So we just had everybody from our church fellowship, everyone who was married, they came over to our place. Myron and Lily helped us set up, and we asked Mark and Norma to come out. Any of you know Mark and Norma Gingrich? No? Yeah, a few? Really, really big blessing. And since their marriage, they've been mission-minded. They've been working for the Lord. They've had a godly marriage. I think they're like 75 to 77, something like that age right now. And they're still serving. They're still teaching migrant workers in our community every month or so. And they've just been a blessing to get to know. And so we invited them over to come and have a talk with us. And we were very encouraged to see, not from a 30-year-old man, but from a seasoned couple. I think they were married almost 60 years. And they just had a really good way of encouraging strong marriages. And My desire is that there would be many of those couples among us. There are some here today. I'm not positive, but I'm sure that there are some here today that there could be. But maybe in 10, 20, 30 years that there could be more and more of these couples. They've tested, they've stood the test of time. They've endured for decades and decades, and they've shown themselves faithful to God and faithful to each other. It speaks a lot when somebody like that can share and bless younger couples like us in marriage. And so I hope that by God's grace, there will be many more couples like that among us. I hope that we can be one of those couples, and I hope that each one of you can be one of those couples. You know, just being faithful to each other is a tremendous light and testimony for God. Just having a godly marriage, you don't have to say a lot of words after that. And the words you share will be powerful words. They will mean something. They will have an impact, especially on younger couples like us. And so in closing, I just want to encourage us to serve God together and run the race of faith together. We are running a race of faith. And ultimately, our goal is to be faithful to Him. He that endureth until the end shall be saved. Our goal is to be faithful to God and faithful to each other. And when we serve God, we serve Him in all things. We don't serve Him just when we go to church. We don't serve Him just when we go do a missionary work. We serve Him in all things. When I go to work, I endeavor to do it as unto the Lord. I serve Him with my work. Samantha supports me in it, and so we do it together. When she stays at home and teaches the children and keeps order in the home when I'm gone, she does it as unto the Lord, and I support her. And so we do it together, and we serve God together. When I prepare for our devotional for God's people or a message to share to you all, she sacrifices a few evenings with me. And so we do it together. Sometimes for you that are in the ministry, sometimes you share a message that's hard to receive and you get some backlash. The wife gets the brunt of it too. And so you do it together and you serve God together. Some of you know that feeling. But it's such a blessing to know that you have a support. But in all things, we can serve God together and we can serve each other. If a man desires to serve God and he doesn't get the support of his wife, it's very difficult for him to continue in the service for God. It's amazing to think how much power a wife actually has in encouraging and pushing a man to do mighty things for God. It is a lot. And men will do a lot just to please their wives. Adam did a lot of things to please his wife. And he even did some things that weren't good to please his wife. And he was a sinless creature. And that same concept happens today too. And it can be for good and it can be for negative. So wives, just remember that you have more influence than you think when it comes to working together with your husband as he serves in different areas. If a woman desires to serve God but doesn't get the support of her husband, what is she supposed to do? She also needs the support. And I'm sure you know of many situations like this, but a woman needs to be blessed and encouraged and supported by her husband. And if she doesn't get it, then there's something wrong. But I would rather encourage us to bless and support one another. So brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing just being here and sharing with you all. And hopefully there was something that you could receive to strengthen you in your marriage relationship, but also in your marriage relationship with Christ. But that would be number one. And as that is number one, let's get yoked together with our spouse, our wife, our husband. And let's have the same vision. And let's bless and support one another and plow forward for God. And I'm excited to see what the Lord will do with all of us in a decade. We'll see in a decade what's going to happen. I can see many good things if we apply God's principles to our marriage. So God bless you. It's been a blessing to be here. May God give each one of us faithful and healthy and strong marriages.